Welcome to Sidetrack, AM580's monthly features magazine. I'm your host, Jason Croft. On this month's program, a tour of the exhibit Out of Sequence, Underrepresented Voices in American Comics. This is Sidetrack. We are all familiar with comic strips and comic books, but some people feel what is seen in the mainstream media does not represent the full spectrum of voices the art form has. Damian Duffy and John Jennings are two such people. They are co-curators of an exhibit now at the Krannert Art Museum called Out of Sequence, Underrepresented Voices in American Comics. It runs until January 4th. I met up with them this week and had them show me around the exhibit.
I'm Damian Duffy. I'm co-curator of the show, Out of Sequence, and I'm also a PhD student in library and information science.
Hey, my name is John Jennings. I'm also a co-curator of the show Out of Sequence, and I'm an associate professor of graphic design here at the University of Illinois.
So tell me a little bit about the show here.
Well, okay, the original intent was to kind of fill in the gaps from this show that we saw called The Masters of American Comics that was generated from the Hammer Museum at UCLA. And it was 15 of the greatest comic book artists to live, you know, but we found it severely limiting as far as like the canonical aspect of the show. It was like all men, you know, 14 white men, and then one minority maybe, you know, and we were like, well, there are a lot of other people's stories that should be told, and there are a lot of other aspects of comics, the medium of comics, that weren't really dealt with, we thought, properly in that show. So we wanted to try to create an exhibition that was a little bit more inclusive, a lot more inclusive, actually, you know, and focus not just on the artifact, but also on the medium of comics. Because most people look at comics as a genre and not a medium. You know, look at like superheroes or like funny animals, but they don't really look at the potential of comics as a medium.
Because of that, the show ended up having 65 artists, 214 pieces, and it's a really it's a broad survey of comics, all the way from early 20th century to contemporary. And also it's a broad range of styles, many different people making comics. We have women artists, minority artists, gay and lesbian artists, and then also many different ways of distributing comics. So we have independent comics, web comics, gallery comics, comics made just for museum spaces. We have virtual reality comics in the canvas in the basement of the Krannert Museum. We have educational comics, every manner of comic people don't normally think of as comics.
So it's more than comics you see in the newspaper or comic books.
Yeah, there are some of those too. Generally by women or minority creators. And then it's also just many, many different other forms, different styles, different uses of the medium of comics, which is just taking images, putting them in sequence to tell a story, and mixing image and text.
So at the tables we have, this is Brummett Echohawk's work. He is probably the most, I think he might be one of the only, possibly the only Native American cartoonist. And we definitely thought it would be great to have him included in this show. He's pretty very talented. I mean, very talented storyteller. And he was about to get syndicated, I guess, in the 1960s. But the syndicated comics, they wanted him to like make it really, really stereotypical with like Native Americans like attacking stagecoaches and stuff. And so he decided not to do that. You know,
because the strip that we have original art from here, it's called Little Chief, and it's very much sort of a positive, showing Native Americans in a positive light, mm-hmm. talking about just Native American art, and also just having a very kind, easygoing sense of humor. It's, you know, you see like the little Indian chief, the little Native American chief, cutting ice in one piece, and instead of the ice hole he's cut just falling through, it's the rest of the ice falls through. So it's just kind of a gag, mm-hmm. And he's just sort of a very likable character. So it was sort of almost subversive in its way because it went against these sort of mainstream stereotypes. Mm-hmm. And we thought it important to include, particularly at University of Illinois, where stereotypes towards Native Americans are sometimes problematic.
Right. So this is Jerry Craft's work. This is Mama's Boys. And we have original work from Jerry Craft. This is a self-published piece about an African-American mother raising her kid to two sons.
Well, here's one down here. When we're talking about African American comics, yeah. Curtis, which actually is syndicated.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Curtis is by Ray Billingsley, and the basis is a story about pretty much him and his brother, you know, and their antics. And again, it has this really kind of lighthearted, more traditional comic kind of theme. When you think about comics, you think about this kind of, you know, gag strip or this kind of like kind of story-based illustration. But he's extremely good storyteller too, I think, as far as like stylistically too. And just we met him at the Festival for Cartoon Art, and he was really, really excited about getting his work shown in the museums. You know, that was actually part of the problem of getting, you know, a show together like this, is that all the artists are their own managers and stuff, and so it's kind of hard to get them to work together. You know, but he was really on point about it, and just a really great guy and beautiful work.
Yeah, we should mention that he is the nicest human being like on the face of the earth. He's
so nice.
Such a nice guy. Great to meet him. But also, Curtis is a really important strip since there are so few African American protagonists in newspaper comic strips. So that was another reason we were really happy to have his work as part of the show, in addition to just his great talent as a cartoonist, which you can see with just looking at his ink lines and the many sort of delicate weights that he uses. It's just beautiful work.
Why don't we go towards some other ones here, modern ones, stuff.
You know, like Mark Staff Randall's installation comic?
Yeah.
He was actually just here. He's a...
What are we looking at?
We're looking at basically an installation comic, and it's installed into the space. It uses the conventions of comics forms, but they're made to be seen in a gallery, pretty much. There's also like a standalone spin rack that has a bunch of little paintings that kind of, again, borrow from the culture of comics. And Mark Steph Brandl, like I said, he went to school here, and now he lives in Switzerland. He's shown all over the world, actually. And it was just here, and he did the artist talk. But a lot of the things he's done, basically what we're looking at is like the corner has a book painting on it.
Yeah, the corner of the gallery here.
Right, and it's a book painting. And in the book, he's actually like these separate stretch canvases that stand in as panel structures, right? And so there's a story about this woman being pursued by a thought balloon, pretty much. And so then it's funny because the balloon, which is an abstract concept, is actually real. And so it hits her, and then she blows it up and pops it. Oh, she blows up another one, and then starts, and then she lets the other thought balloon go, and so it's almost like this kind of secular kind of story going on.
And then also, he's painted directly on the wall, footprints walking off into the distance of the wall, mm-hmm. And all along the ground where the footprints are sort of broken word balloons or flattened word balloons, and he came and just painted it directly on the wall. Yeah. And then the work in the magazine rags, they all look like little comic covers. But they're actually supposed to be his footnotes for the show. So some of them refer to us by name as curators. They refer to some of the ideas of the show, talking about different comics. Or they refer to his own work, which is called Carried Away, because it's the woman being carried away by her thoughts.
People can like interact with these, too, you know, and actually pick them up and look at them, you know, and put them back into the, like they're browsing through them, you know. It's really cool.
Like the old racks you would find in...
Like Junior Food Market or Stop and Go's and, you know, little... some stores and stuff, you know. Yeah, I love this.
Okay, so what else do we have here?
Alison Bechdel's really famous.
So who is this again?
This is Alison Bechdel. These are process pieces. This is the ink work, and the we're looking at the kind of like shading, the gouache shading that goes with the ink pieces, which are drawn on like tracing paper, and the final piece. Now, Fun Home is a autobiographical. Even though she refers to it as a tragicomic, like a graphic memoir kind of piece, it's about her coming out of the closet as a lesbian and her father's being in a closet as well. And basically, it's called Fun Home because she grew up in a funeral home. And so she just kind of cut off the funeral, and it's like Fun Home. And it was, who said it was good? Times Best?
Yeah, it was Time Magazine's 2006 Book of the Year, so not just graphic novel of the year, but Book of the Year.
Yeah.
So this particular page that we're looking at is... It takes place later in the book when Allison is going to college and she's sort of coming to grips with her homosexuality. She actually looks lesbian up in the dictionary at one point and then reads about other lesbians in books. She's very sort of bookish in her description of herself in the autobiography. Mm-hmm. And there are many sort of literary references. It's a very kind of dense book. And this is a really nice example of seeing how it was put together.
Yeah, there's something else, too, that's what we focus on in this show is that process. A lot of people will see the end result of the comic, but they don't know, you know, they don't know what a comic book script looks like or how it's colored or this kind of thing. And so we wanted to focus on those kind of aspects as well, just the culture, but also, like, the production of comics, because this is a populist form, it's meant to be reproduced. And it's Ann Telness. This is a piece actually on gay marriage, and she's a political cartoonist, but she's a Pulitzer Prize-winning political cartoonist. And so people like that we thought were really... you know, good to have into this in the show, to just to look at like the breadth of experience and the breadth of like people, you know, people's expressions in the medium.
What is it about the medium of comics that is so effective in dealing with the messages that these artists want to project?
That's a good question. I wonder if there's something about the immediacy of it. Like anyone can do one. Like right now, we can actually get down. If you have a pencil and some paper, you can make a story really quickly. There's also this idea of hybridity between like text and image, where it kind of is a hybrid medium, and it deals with just society in this really interesting way. I mean, it's almost like it hacks into society, to if you want to use like terminology like that.
Especially in America, it's a very marginalized art form, mm-hmm. in a lot of ways. And we had been talking about this, I think John read in a Bell Hooks book, mm-hmm. where she's talking about by being on the margins, you're able to sort of protest mainstream culture.
Right.
So comics, because it's sort of on the margins, it lends itself to subversive or very unique or very idiosyncratic ideas. And I think also just the fact that putting images and text together is such a powerful means of communication.
Yeah.
Because it speaks on multiple modes. It has multiple modes of expression. So you're not just talking through text, or you're not just talking through image, but you're combining them in a way that can be read, that's very interactive, that gives the reader a chance to think about it.
And there's also the sheer power of the democratization of like just representation. You know, it's abstractions of, and it's very symbolic too, so you can do like these really interesting things with symbols and stuff. But also there's an aspect of it that's really highly collaborative as well. I mean, we're collaborators, you know, on comics, but some comics are like 8 people or 3 people or what have you. But then there's the collaboration of the audience, because it's a cool medium, to borrow from like Marshall McLuhan. You're projecting a lot of yourself into it, the audience, and then there's also this kind of performative aspect to it. Like you are definitely each one of those characters, and you're reading through them, and it's all this time based and stuff. So it's all, I think it's like a lot of different, it's a mixed bag of stuff as far as like just a pop culture.
And it's very kind of synesthetic, because there's sort of words and word balloons are mimicking sound, or sound effects are mimicking sound. So in reading that, you're sort of making sound going in your head, and you start to read the pictures and see the text as picture. You know, so there's sort of that blend between image and text where you're not quite sure which is which sometimes. So it exists at this kind of crossroads of meaning that allows for a lot of experimentation. Mm-hmm. And I think that's another reason why all the work in here is very interesting and very provocative, and all of it very different from other work in the show, is because there is such a space for experimentation within the comics medium.
Yeah, I agree.
That was Damian Duffy and John Jennings, co-curators of Out of Sequence, Underrepresented Voices in American Comics, now at the Krannert Art Museum. The exhibit runs until January 4th.